It's like Doc and what's that movie with Michael J. Fox?
Teen Wolf?
Yeah. It's like Doc and Teen Wolf.
That's right. Right. I remember that one. Right, where he ends up playing guitar with Joan Jett. Yeah. Awesome. Hello and welcome to episode 44 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. Hey, do I say episode 44 or Two Hosers first?
44.
Episode 44 of the Two Hosers Show. I am Alan, and as always lately, in Vancouver, Canada.
Yep.
Sitting with me, Captain Yep over there.
Yep. Is Adam.
Also in Vancouver, Canada.
In your apartment for round two.
Of the episodes.
Right.
Right. Yeah, we're sitting here in the old apartment, as we referenced in the last show.
Yeah, we're still sitting here.
Still sitting. Not moved in a week. The weather's been terrible. Not true.
Just today.
So, before we get into what did you shoot this week, because we shot some stuff. I was there. You were there.
Yep.
I want to give everybody a heads up. I signed up for the Google Plus business.
What does that entail?
Yeah, that's great. I don't know. I was hoping you knew.
No.
It's like a Facebook, but for not Facebook. It's okay. Google Plus, which I don't know. Apparently people like.
It's for people that don't know how to use Facebook.
I think so, or people who are snobs and refuse to be on Facebook.
That's you.
That is me. I'm one of those guys. You know how, like, in sort of like, I don't know, for the last 30 years, you've always known one guy at a party who's been like, oh, I don't own a TV?
Right.
That's kind of being like that Facebook's the new thing like that.
Right.
Where, oh, I'm not on Facebook.
So instead I'll be on Google Plus, and that's highbrow.
I don't know, but for a long time, just to defend myself on the Facebook thing, I have a long time. I've never been on the Facebook, but I try hard not to announce it. Like right. I try not to buy a T-shirt that says I'm not on Facebook.
Do they have those?
I don't know. I'm sure they do. It probably in that tone of voice too.
And you wear it with your yellow Yankees hat.
What? What? What font is that tone of voice? I'm not on Facebook.
I don't know.
It's got to be some sort of a cool Vetica.
I don't know the name of the fonts because I'm not a nerd like you.
Correct. So anyway, so we're going to figure out how to use that. I don't know how to use it yet. I didn't know how to use Google Plus in the first place, but because I couldn't sign up for Two Hosers. It was my own name.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be our show, not me. But now you can sign up for the business. And so we're on there. I don't know how to use it. So if anybody wants to go ahead and join our thing, our Google Plus thing.
Yeah, that's what it's called officially.
Yeah, I don't even know how to get to it. I think you have to Google search our Google Plus.
And how does, like, Google Plus is a search engine?
It's Google Plus a little bit more.
Okay.
No, it's not a search. Google is part of this.
So if you click on the little tab in the top corner of your browser that says Google, yeah. You won't get there.
No, you know what's interesting is it, describe, what is Google?
A search engine?
They're much more than that now. Because is email a search engine?
Maybe.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't know.
They do all. I can't even describe Google anymore. Point is, we're on there now, and we're. I promise we're going to get it rolling.
When we figure it out, we'll let you know.
Yeah. Well, everyone else has figured it out already.
Okay, so we're behind.
It's trust me, it's us, not them.
Okay.
And we're getting to get better at Twitter, but maybe Google Plus will mean we don't have to do Twitter. I'm not sure. That's what I've heard. But the point is in the new year when things settle down, we want to kind of amalgamate.
Fancy word.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Amalgamate everything into like one spot. Because right now we're kind of segmented. We got Flickr, we got Twitter, all these things. And it's a little bit annoying. And so I promise you we'll try to amalgamate that. Very busy right now. And we'll get on that. So give us a little bit of slack, please.
Okay.
What did you shoot this week?
One day of pictures. Your birthday. Happy birthday. Belated, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
And we went to Stanley Park and did a little walk on the seawall on a nice Sunday afternoon with your family and mine. And
that was a great weather. The weather was outstanding.
Oh, it didn't look like it was going to be, but then it turned out perfect.
And yeah.
Early afternoon playground visit and did some walk on the seawall, some nice fall color pictures. So I took some pictures of my kids. I also took a couple of you and your baby playing in the fall colors. So
yep.
That was it. That's all I've taken, actually, between that and the photo challenge pick, which I won't spoil the surprise yet. That's it for me for the week. How about you?
Well, same. I shot, the day before, I almost forgot about this. I was contracted to shoot some family portraits near the same spot.
Yeah.
Down in English Bay, which is a great, great spot. The weather, again, was outstanding on the day before as well. And I love being down there and around the seawall because you got Stanley Park with all the trees.
Yeah.
And if you've never been to Vancouver, definitely you should come to Vancouver. And check out Stanley Park.
I think it's on the can't miss list. If you come to Vancouver and don't go there, you missed part of the experience.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is on the. It doesn't matter. Just go to Stanley Park. You can walk the trails through the park, which I had never done until last year.
I've never done it still.
It's fantastic. The seawall is just utterly amazing. It's like, I don't know, 10 kilometers all the way around or something like that.
So something like that, yeah.
Ride your bike, go for a walk. We walked it the other day for the first time. Because I was actually at the seawall 3 days in a row.
Wow.
This week because of that. So we went and shot some family portraits, some extended family, some friends of mine who I haven't seen in probably 7-8 years since I shot their wedding, actually.
Okay.
They hired me to shoot some pictures of them and their two kids, and both of them brought their parents out. So, 8 people?
Yep.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, we shot a bunch of those. And then, we shot a lot of stuff in the park. I shoot stuff of my kid every day because that's kind of... You did the same, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think that's pretty standard.
More since Jack, I've been more photo inclined, but certainly took a lot of pictures of Sarah too when she was little.
So we did that, and then the Stanley Park. And what did you notice about shooting in Stanley Park that day? Anything? Any challenges? Anything that was a little bit challenging?
Well, we were sort of, the playground was completely in shade, so we were in shade for much of it. And then there's the bright backlit colors in behind. So if you're shooting towards the water and towards where the nice colored trees were, you had bright background and a dark shaded foreground.
And I'm trying to get at something related to that.
Okay, go ahead.
What did you notice about the shade besides
it's being blue? Electric?
Oh my, was it ever blue?
Yeah.
And that's just the time of year that happens when, I don't know. Ask a scientist. If you know a scientist, ask a scientist why it's blue. But it is very, very, very cool colors.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to get your the proper white balance, and then all of a sudden you step out into the golden sunshine, and everything is really, really gold.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a challenge. And so, I mean, what's the workaround there? Shoot raw.
Yeah.
Deal with it in the AM.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do.
That's what I ended up doing, best I could. So, and I bumped into a new listener while we went for a little walk through where the raccoons were.
Yeah.
You weren't there.
I was not.
You stuck around on the playground. We went for a walk around Lost Lagoon.
I don't know where that is.
You've seen the big fountains when you drive through Stanley Park.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's Lost Lagoon. And so walking through there, and I saw a guy walking up, and he had a really big, I don't even know what lens he had on his camera. It was long, nice and long, super long, 300. He'll tell me in an email, perhaps, because I gave him my card, as I do to everybody.
Yeah.
And he got in touch, and we actually shot the same picture of the same bird at the same time.
And you wanted to compare and contrast?
No, it wasn't on purpose. He had already shot it, I shot it, and then I saw him and handed him the card, and he emailed me. He posted his picture, Big A888. He posted it. Now, I shot with my 30mm lens, so not a good bird lens.
Right.
But we'll get into that later.
Okay.
That's a lens. This is the lens show.
The lens show.
So before we get into the photo challenge, I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners who got in touch with us. Now, correct me if I'm mispronouncing this. Liability.
I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah. So she basically said, "Hey, we need to slow down a bit. She's only on episode
17 or 18,
something like that."
Yeah.
And I don't think she's listening fast enough, so she should crank it up.
I agree.
And I said, but I want to give her a shout out anyway. And of course, she's not going to hear this for a couple months. So, happy Valentine's Day or St. Patty's, depending how fast you get moving.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, Liability. Tell your friends. Photo challenge.
Okay, remind me.
This was a, what did we call it? We said timed exposure, but basically...
Long exposure.
Long exposure. Yeah. Something like, because you had got a new tripod.
Yes, I did.
And I said, well, let's go ahead and use that tripod.
Okay.
So you can handhold, if you're going to handhold something now with image stabilization, IS or VR, whatever you want to call it, you can get away with a pretty slow shutter speed. Again, as we'll talk about with the lenses, but sometimes you absolutely need a tripod.
Yeah.
So that was the point of this one, is to shoot with a tripod. So let's do yours first. Tell me about your long exposure.
Okay, so I hung a disco ball probably about, 2 or 3 weeks ago. We had friends coming over with small kids, and I had this disco ball sitting in my closet somewhere from university days past, and decided I'd put it up for the kids to have kind of their own little dance party. And I had this light with different color filters that I can shine on the disco ball to create neat effects on the wall. And so I set that up, and so the disco ball, I figured this, the way I looked at it is, in long exposure pictures I've seen in the past, it creates nice like light streaking, if you have got a shutter speed that's slow enough. So the sort of color blurs. And so I figured it'd be a neat kind of contrast between the ball spinning, because it's going to spin in a directly in place. So I'd get a nice kind of sharp image on the ball, but yet it would still convey the idea of motion, because I think most people know what a disco ball looks like.
Right.
And then in behind, you'd get all sorts of cool light blurring on the wall. So I basically set up the tripod beneath the disco ball, and just maybe off to the left a little bit, and then shot up at it, because I thought with my room being dark, I'd see the best color display on the roof. Also, based on the angle that I had the light, the red, it was actually a red light that I aimed up at the disco ball, and then I preferred the color to be purple, so I used a little post-production color change to make that more purple than red. So it ended up being a 10-second exposure, so I used the TV mode on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I set it to, I wanted a long shutter speed. I figured, I first started at about, 4 seconds, didn't get enough streaking of the color that I wanted, so it was a little bit more, like, fragmented, and then as I made the shutter speed slower and slower, I got more of the effect I wanted. So ended up being a 10-second exposure at I believe an f/13, and I also wanted it to be dark, so I think I used a bit of an exposure compensation on top of that at another stop lower than the actual what the TV mode wanted to give me.
Gotcha. So ISO.
ISO was at 100 because I wanted to, again, just be able to pick up the color on the wall, and I didn't really want any of the ceiling color showing through if I could avoid it.
Right. So you, in those parameters, you have to set the ISO as low as you can.
Yeah.
And oftentimes the aperture basically as small as you can.
Yeah.
In order to achieve that long shutter speed.
Right.
So that's what I think it looks great. I love it. I don't know what to be critical about.
No, I as soon as I shot it, the first shot I took, this ended up being about the fourth or fifth, because I shot it from different angles, and I wasn't sure, like, I was really, the first shot I took, I showed my wife and said, holy crap, look at this, this looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And in my mind, thinking about it, I didn't even think it was going to look as cool as it ended up looking. So to toot my own horn, I'm pretty awesome this week.
You did great. If I was going to keep this shot, and I think it looks great, I would crop out the black base of it.
Yeah, and
which is difficult because you end up losing some of the circles.
And that's kind of when I did play with the crop, and I wasn't sure keep it or not. And the reason I ended up keeping it was I thought a little bit of context, just because I wasn't sure when I cropped it lower if people would know what it is, and I kind of wanted them to know.
I see.
And I wanted them to know as a I wanted them to know it was a disc ball, and I thought with that little base there, it became more obvious what it was. And so when I did try some cropping on, and yeah, you do lose the complete spherical kind of light trail that you get on the wall when you do crop it down a bit. So, and the reason it's cropped where it is because that little base that's spinning it, it's got a cord. And so I'm trying to get rid of the cord out of the mm-hmm. picture because that was completely distracting. So I cropped it where I thought, I'd see, you'd know what it was, but you'd lose the cord. So
I think if you have like a little title on the right-hand side saying New Year's Disco Eve Party.
Disco party.
Tickets $40. You got yourself a photo here.
There you go. Maybe I'll have to do that.
You could sell this to the Roxy or something. I don't
know. And if you come to Vancouver, the other place you should check out is the Roxy.
If you want to hang out with the Canucks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's generally
or any opposing hockey team that comes to town.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I knew right away what it was, but I was wondering if I, because I've seen your disco ball.
Yes.
And so I was wondering if, you know, if I didn't know, and if it was crop, would I know what this is? It just looks like some sort of an alien thing.
Yeah, it looks like a spaceship or something.
So there you go. I think it looks great job.
And I think at some point it will end up on a wall just because it's different than anything else that I've got in my house. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. So I'm going to pat myself on the back.
There you go. All right.
Moving on.
Moving on. This is my challenge photo right here.
Outside, like not far from where you live, right?
Outside in the general neighborhood of where I live.
Yeah.
I love the Stanley Theater. I saw Star Wars there when I was a kid.
It's a pretty cool landmark. Another place to check out on the Vancouver tourist list.
Yep. It's no longer a movie theater. It's a theater.
Like plays and stuff.
Yeah, right? I saw To Kill a Mockingbird there one time. So, you know, also read the book and saw the movie.
Very culturally inclined you are.
Yeah, also it was playing right there.
Tell me about the books you've read.
moving on. I don't read books anymore because they started making movies.
And audiobooks.
Yeah, I don't
super cool. I like that.
Yeah, unless you don't like the person's voice. And then it's like, oh man. I did listen to one. I started listening and I absolutely hated the guy's voice. It was an English guy, an actor I very much like.
Yeah.
Except for he was doing this horrible American accent. And it was like some sort of a Brooklyn accent, and I couldn't listen.
All right.
I guess because I knew his voice. I don't know.
It's a great story.
All right. Tangent.
So what'd you do here?
So here's what I did. I wanted to do your traffic moving shot.
Right.
But I wanted to basically create a foreground, middle ground, and a background.
Okay.
And so the Stanley is essentially the background, which is rock. Obviously, you can see it's rock solid.
Yeah.
We have the cars moving by,
yeah,
which are blurred. And I wanted to create a foreground. In this case, I had no one else because it was kind of rainy. My wife was babysitting our daughter, and there was no one around.
We call that parenting, by the way.
Parenting?
Yeah.
I've been paying her $5 an hour for the last 4 months.
And you left your cell phone number on the fridge.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And there's candy in the cupboard, Lena, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, there you go. Don't order the pizza. We can keep this going all night, folks. Tons of babysitter humor. Yeah. Elizabeth Shue came by and it got crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I was basically the only one on the street this night, so I couldn't get anybody to stand in front, which is why it was yours truly.
It's a big roundabout way of saying he loves to take pictures of himself. Yeah.
Essentially.
It was either this or the one in front of the bathroom mirror, so he went with this one.
I couldn't get a real good blur on that one. The long exposure wasn't really artistic, so... No, I wanted to create a little something different because I have a very similar photo to this on my wall already, but I'm not in it.
Okay.
And so I wanted to not just duplicate something I'd already done. So that's why we did this. Now, I put it on a tripod.
Yeah.
And obviously, ISO set to 100, as low as it'll go.
Yeah.
And in order to get a long shutter speed, I had to set it at like, I forget what it was, like probably F16 or higher.
Okay.
Because with all the lights in the background, it provides a quite a lot of exposure.
Yeah.
So even then, I could only get around, I think this is at 2.5 seconds.
Okay, yeah.
Shutter speed. But with moving cars, you get
they're
the idea.
They're going quick enough, yeah.
And so now with myself in the foreground, I wanted to actually be further back. The original shot was I was going to be smaller in the photo. I was gonna
but
be
then you
would have
got hit by a car, so.
Well, I would have moved the camera back.
Good tip.
Yeah, I would have stayed out of the street. it's not my first time crossing the street.
Okay.
So, originally I had the camera move back, except for at F16 or F22 and the pop-up flash, which is what's lighting me.
Yeah.
I was getting no exposure. Because at F16 or 22, whatever I ended up on, the pop-up flash has got nothing. It will not even make a dent in your exposure.
Right.
So I could either open up, which now kills my shutter speed.
Yeah.
And now my blur is gone, or I can move the camera closer, which is what I did. I moved it as close as as far away as I could while still getting an image.
Okay, yeah.
With the flash exposure compensation cranked up to +2 and just enough, I just wanted to kind of light my face. And then the first shot, I didn't have my hand up I had my hand down, but it was kind of was just really a dark jacket.
Right.
So I brought that up just to break up the...
Get a little contrast on your jacket.
Exactly. And then I was fortunate enough as while I was taking that, so what I did was it was a 2.5 second exposure with a rear curtain sink. So that the exposure would happen, and at the very end, the flash would pop.
Okay.
So I put on the timer. I had my time to walk over there. The cars would kind of go by, and at the last second, the flash would pop. Just as that was happening, a taxi cab had pulled up next to my camera, and the taillights kind of threw that sort of weird look across my face.
Yeah, it looks like it's super cold out, and you just breathed out or exhaled, and that's like that. That's what it looked like to me. I was like, wow, right. It seemed pretty cold, because that looks like kind of the steam or the air cooling as it leaves your mouth or nose.
There you go.
That's what I thought.
So essentially, I'm going to call this one Popeye Doyle.
Okay.
Any idea?
No.
You don't know who Popeye Doyle is?
No.
I'm going to need you to Google that when you get home.
Okay.
Not Google Plus.
Just Google. Standard Google.
I can't believe you don't know who that is.
I have no idea. Do you want to enlighten us, or is everyone going to have to look this up?
Well, I'm assuming a few of our listeners, not everybody will know, but a few of our listeners will know who Popeye Doyle. Yeah.
No idea.
All right. If any listeners know, go ahead and send it in. And
make this isn't like the guy that's sailed around the world or anything, is it?
No.
What was that guy's name?
Thor Heyerdahl?
No. The
Magellan?
No. From that, I don't know, like 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, Sir Francis Drake?
Yeah.
I know. The Jeopardy Tournament of Champions is on right now, too. I should be down there doing that.
Maybe.
So anyway, that's our photo challenge. I included one without the flash.
Just to see the difference.
So you could see without the pop-up flash, that was you could get no exposure.
A very, very significant silhouette.
One thing I really do like, is besides the fact I really wish I had somebody else in this picture, I promise you that.
Yeah.
I like the lighting on the lamppost call box next to my head.
Oh, I see. You got like the rim light on the... Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just from the cars coming by.
Okay, yeah.
I really like how that lights up. So this might be a shot that I try to redo with a subject besides myself and off-camera flash.
Okay.
To really do a good job of lighting that and make it look like a movie.
So. I saw your picture and I got nothing negative to say other than when I looked, I was looking for ideas before I actually shot my shot. I was looking for ideas about long exposure pictures. They all look like traffic shots. It seems like the majority of them are. And then first thing I said to Lisa before I saw your shot, I said, Al's going to do a picture on that road because it's not too far. And I even thought you were going to use the Stanley and everything. And I just said, wow, too predictable. Nothing wrong with the shot. But I thought, where's your creative juices, buddy? There's nothing wrong with that, but you got to step up. That's too in the box for you.
But what about having myself in it?
Yeah, no.
It's, pop-up flash? Yeah. That's the next step.
Okay, I'll give you that.
You're right. The rest would have been pretty predictable. So,
all right.
You know.
The pop-up flash is cool, yeah. And I thought, at first when I saw that, I thought maybe you used an off-camera flash and just set further back. But the pop-up, that's good. You made something happen with
it. I can't believe I just defended myself. I don't care what you think.
No, you care.
I'm going to cut your mic.
You care. Cut his mic. You care.
Cut his mic. Let's go over some of the...
Glad we did my picture first.
Yeah. Let's go back to your picture. You call that a disco...
All right. So what's the topic?
Well, hang on. Let's go over. I want to make mention of a couple of
Oh, yeah.
User
I saw
ones.
Some of those pictures.
There's some great ones. This, yeah. See, the water.
That's waterfalls. The other thing. Waterfalls is the other one. It's cars on traffic and waterfalls. That's what people shoot.
Well, people are going to be shooting the hell out of disco balls now.
Well, I think I've got the market saturated.
Yes, this is going to. Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. The new HDR.
For anybody who's got a disco ball, seriously, take pictures of it in long exposure. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be mesmerized. Now, this is a great job here. RX-Man, we went over his name before.
Rexman? I don't know.
Yeah. He did a great job. I love the water in this one.
It's an awesome shot.
We're not going to go over too many of them because we're running out of time. We have a submission from Derek, who I don't think he was actually trying to do this. It was for some other shot he was doing, but he accidentally entered the photo challenge. It looks great. But then he did one on purpose where he shot the road.
That's the shot. That shot, again, great shot, fantastic looking shot. I'd actually put a picture like that on my wall. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, is not outside the box. That's right in the box. So Derek, in the box.
it's in the box. It's
a great picture, though.
One thing that I do want to point out is I like the sky in it.
I do, too, yeah.
So I like what he's done with it. And dark so blue. It's not like he's inventing photography.
No, he's not.
But he's making very good use
it. I really like the picture.
Yeah.
I actually, after I saw that picture, I was like, I kind of want to stand on a bridge and take a picture like that just to see what parameters you need to use in order to get that.
But then you realize that you're better than that, apparently.
I'm much better than
that. Yeah. Thanks for phoning.
Plus, it was cold out and I didn't want to go outside, so I used something inside.
Right. This week's topic, before we get too far along, too late. What is it this week? Oh, I just lost the email.
Lenses.
How to buy a lens. That's what we're going to do. People always ask me,
hey, it's getting close to Christmas, right?
Getting close to Christmas. It's coming on Christmas. They're putting up trees.
Yeah.
Put up reindeer.
By the end of November,
they'll singing songs of joy and peace. Wish I had a river.
I wish I had a reindeer.
You don't know. Come on. All right.
I'm killing your flow.
I love that song.
Yeah, I don't know it.
Oh, my God. You don't know Popeye Doyle, I'll give you some slack on. You don't know Joni Mitchell?
I know some Joni Mitchell. I don't know
clearly
that song.
Clearly an aficionado.
You're still mad about the inside the box comment on your picture.
Let's keep it on topic here. What kind of a hoser doesn't know Joni Mitchell?
This one.
She's like North Battleford, Saskatchewan.
I all grew right, up in Ontario.
On. Great, yeah. We all think you're better than everybody else. Yep. The rest of Canada. All right. Okay, that's enough. Listeners over there, it's more Adam who thinks that, not everybody.
Yeah.
So I got an email from Janice. I thought it was somebody in Vancouver that we knew or you knew.
But it isn't.
It's not. It's Janice from Australia. You've heard of it.
I've heard of Australia.
Yeah. So she said, just wanted to say, I love your show. Alan, not as much Adam. I forget. It's something like that.
Doesn't say that, does it?
And you've taught me... No, not really. And you've taught me much about DSLR photography.
I thought I was the likable one. No?
Yeah. No, we went... like, you know how they go, good cop, bad cop? We went jerk.
Jerk. Jerkier.
Yeah. Well, that, I don't know.
No, you're much bigger jerk.
So you taught me so much about DSLR photography, so much so that I've decided to take the leap from my Sony... something to a Canon 60D. I was wondering if you'd be able to give me some advice regarding the first choice of lens. I was looking into getting the 18-135 kit lens. That's a new lens that Canon started making the last couple years, and was advised against getting the 18-200mm kit lens as it is too heavy for a girl.
Don't even touch that one.
I don't think it's too heavy for a girl. Upon further research myself, there's a 17-85 that seems to be decent. So hopefully you can enlighten me on what general purpose / travel lens I should get. Well, at first...
this is a great lead into the episode, right?
What a coincidence.
Wow, okay.
I advise against the 18-200 on principle, not because it's too heavy for anybody. I just don't like it. I haven't shot a lot with it. I've tried it out. I'm not a fan.
Okay. I've never tried it, so.
We've talked in the past about it, and so I'm not a real big fan of it.
Because it's got such a long focal length that, like you say, it's one of those lenses that probably is okay for a lot of things, but not great at anything.
Exactly. So let's back up, first of all, what is a kit lens?
The lens that can sometimes come packaged with your camera.
Generally, that's what they like to do when they sell these cameras, is they want to give you a lens, which is more often than not kind of a throwaway lens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, all things being equal, there's nothing wrong with it, depending on how much you pay, because there's a couple of different kit lenses, but the basic one is the 18-55mm f/5.6.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
You get. It's worth about $100.
Yeah.
Probably. And that's kind of what they throw in. I mean, they don't throw it in. They charge you for it.
Yeah. But they package it together and make it sound like a great deal.
Comes as part of a kit.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of standard nowadays. That it's odd to me that a zoom lens is the kit lens. Because back in the day...
35mm or something?
50mm.
Yeah.
You got a 50mm f1.8 was your kit lens. And then people started getting into zoom because it was a new thing and they wanted that. And so that's become the new kit lens, the new starting point. Because at 18 to 55, it's halfway decent at everything, and it'll get you started.
Won't blow your hair back, though.
No. So, but you want to move up.
Yeah.
That's the whole plan, is they get you into the market, and that's kind of their move, their bait and switch move. They get you, the first hit is free, and then now they got you.
Yeah.
That sounded pretty sinister.
I've managed to get away with 2 years, though, with my budget excess, my 18 to 55 kit, and the 1.8, which was $120 or whatever. And I've been through two of those now. So
there you go.
I haven't fallen prey to the bait and switch move just yet. I will, but not yet.
You're in. They got your hooks in you. So what? First thing first, people ask me, hey, what lens should I buy? Now, there's no simple answer for that.
It's a loaded question.
It's a loaded question. I wish I could answer. And I promise we're not going to over complicate it on purpose to make us sound like experts.
I think the question has to be, what do you intend to use it for? Mm-hmm. Right? That's the first question. What are your photography needs?
So what are your photography? What would you need a new lens for?
I want a new lens because I'm shooting on a crop sensor. So I think you've talked briefly about that. Mm-hmm. And I have the 18 to 55, which is not a very sharp lens. It's an okay lens if I'm close enough to my subject. But for me, I want the 50 millimeter. Most of the pictures I take are in my house. And in a lot of situations, I'm too close with the 50 millimeter on a crop sensor. So I want something to get me either further away that's sharper than my 18 to 55. So for me, a prime lens that's a wider angle is probably one option, or a much better like 18 to 85 or something in the range of 15 to 85, whatever they make the next sharper zoom lens for. Or, and again, it depends on whether I buy this year or maybe 2 years from now. If I wait 2 years to buy my next big lens, it'll probably be a longer range, 70 to 200, to shoot my kids playing sports. Right. So where I'm not going to be as close, the 18 to 55 isn't going to do me much good. So I'm going to want a longer range zoom. So, yeah.
So that's it. You have to think about what you want. Now, a lot of people say, well, if you could only have one lens, like I'm going to go traveling to Europe. And I'm going to bring only, I only want to bring one lens, so that's why I want the 18 to 200.
Yeah.
I still advise against that.
Because you can get like a lens that doesn't, can you get a great lens that does like 15 to like 125 or something? But they're expensive, right?
You could do, I mean, you can get lenses now for like 15 to 85. Or the aforementioned, was the 18 to 135 is probably a pretty good lens.
Yeah.
People seem to like it.
Yeah.
Now, I have not used that lens.
It's expensive though, isn't it?
I don't think that one's as bad. I believe the 15 to 85 Canon is expensive.
Like $1,000, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so generally what I tell people is I don't like to recommend a specific lens. Sometimes I do. The 50 millimeter that you have. I like the 17 to 85 millimeter zoom lens, which is an EFS lens, which only fits on crop sensors, which I'll mention in a second.
Okay.
Because the good news with the 17 to 85 is that it's pretty slow. It's an F5.6 lens, which is nothing to write home about, but it's really cheap. There's a lot of them. And so you can get one used for about $300. And that's what I recommend to take traveling, because on a crop sensor, 85 millimeters is plenty.
Yeah.
And you're traveling around Europe, I mean, how many super-duper close-up shots are you going to be taking? How many shots at 200 millimeters are you going to be taking of the Eiffel Tower?
Probably not many.
Probably not, because you're not going to see very wide
right
on a crop sensor. And so I kind of, that's why I advise against that. So think about what it is that you need. Do you need to get in that close and be super wide at the same time? You think you do.
Yeah.
But you don't end up doing that. So, first off, what is a crop sensor? Do you have any idea?
Kind of. It's not. You're only seeing part of the image. So it's basically not the full frame, right? So you're taking an image that's already been resized. Is that correct?
Something like that. In order to save money, when they made these, to get everybody hooked on DSLR photography,
yeah,
they basically had to cut corners somewhere. And the sensors are that they use to record the image are fairly expensive.
Yeah.
So they make them the same size as your 35 millimeter film, which is actually 36 millimeters by 24 millimeters. But in order to save money, they decided, well, if we make these much, much smaller, we can save a lot of money and get people to still buy them. And that's what the crop is. So instead of building the whole sensor, they're only building the middle.
Okay.
So you're still getting that whole image coming in, but it's only recording the middle part of it.
Right.
Now, before you get all crazy and say, well, I need a full frame sensor then. No, the crop sensors are pretty good.
Yeah.
I have both. I have a crop sensor and I have a full frame. The difference being is when you put a lens on a crop sensor, the guy in the camera store is going to tell you, well, this 50 millimeter is now an 80 millimeter lens.
Right.
Or 75 millimeter on a Nikon. It's not exactly like that. It's sort of, in terms of how wide it can see, how much you can see, it's about the same as an 80. But in terms of depth of field and the way things look, like in terms of features on a person, not the same.
Right.
So just in terms of how wide you can see. So they need a frame of reference. So if you're going to shoot with a 18 to 200 millimeter lens, all the way zoomed in to 200 millimeters, you're going to see left and right about the same as a 320 millimeter lens.
Okay.
That is really narrow.
Yeah.
So you're not going to shoot a lot of stuff with that. What I find. So I wouldn't worry. I have a whole thing about crop sensors, and you can compare a whole series of posts on my blog where you can kind of compare images and see what's going on. But that's something to think about when you're going to buy a lens. So if you buy the 50 millimeter lens, the one knock against it on the crop sensor is that you don't see inside. It's difficult to see everybody.
Yeah. Especially in a smaller room, you can't.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
And so that's where you either buy the full frame camera for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or you buy a lens like I have, the Sigma
30,
the 30 millimeter lens.
Right.
Now, if you're on the Nikon, I'd recommend the 35 millimeter lens. They made one a couple years back. They started making it, and it's about $200. And I've used it. It's great. I highly recommend it. Like, that would be, if I was going to just start taking pictures and had no equipment, I would consider buying a base model Nikon with a 35 millimeter, and that's it. That would be my fun. That'd be my fun camera.
So, and I think I saw a couple months back at a camera store in the U.S., I think it was Tall's Camera, one of the chain camera stores in the U.S., a Canon F2 30 millimeter for about $350. And the camera store guy was pretty high. He said it's a super old lens, been around for a long, long time, but it'll be super sharp on a Canon. I was surprised that it only cost $350.
That sounds like a older camera lens.
Again, he said it's been around for at least 15
because
years.
Because Canon changed, you have a different mount system up until, I'm going to say, 1986, that you had what's called an FD, which is all their old film cameras.
Yeah, it would have worked on my XS.
But then they made an adapter so that some people made an adapter so it would sort of work. But I some people have had success. I don't know what kind of success they've had. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure of which lens you're talking about.
I will look it up.
Google it right after Popeye Doyle. So try to Google together and just try to see if any matches come up together.
Yeah, I will.
I'll be very surprised if they do. So first of all, find out if you have a crop sensor.
Okay,
if
you probably do.
Show, yeah. You probably do.
Yeah.
You most likely do, unless you have like a 5D Mark II or Mark I.
Or unless you know somebody that recently hit the lottery.
Yes. Well, they're coming down in price, which is nice.
Yeah.
But they're still considerably more expensive. And I love mine. I by no means would I get one if I wasn't making money with it.
Right.
That's the key. It's not a deal breaker. I for a long time I thought it was, or I heard people say it was, oh, you got to shoot full frame, you got to shoot full frame, until I did that comparison test, and it is really very minor, the differences. There are differences and at the pro level and blah, 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 but for an amateur, I would not worry about it. I get a crop sensor, save the money, spend it on lenses.
Okay.
Now, they make lenses that only fit crop sensors, like Canon does.
Okay.
In order to save money, they make these EFS lenses, like the 17-85, which you can't put on a full frame, which is okay. So have a look and make sure that if you have a full frame camera, don't don't buy the EFS lenses.
And the full frame, you know, won't, you know, make you more creative. Like, you won't think of taking disco ball shots or anything.
Oh, I disagree. It makes you way more creative. Yeah. It makes you creative because you can no longer afford to eat. And so you have to get out there and do it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So did we give an answer on why ask what you need?
I think we did. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I want to be clear on that. The whole thing, I don't want to be kind of vague over stuff like
I think the other thing too is what you have to consider is what kind of lighting are you shooting in, right? So do you need to be wide? Do you prefer to shoot like birds where you're going to be a ways off in the distance and the zoom is very important to you? If you're shooting kind of, you know, if birds are your primary subject, then yeah, you probably need a telephoto lens, right? So I think you have to establish what are you taking pictures are. Is it your children? Is it portraits? Is it landscapes? To decide, okay, do I need wide or do I need narrow? But on the other side of that, you have to figure, do I need to shoot a lot of low light? Like, are you shooting where your kids play hockey or soccer and under, you know, like if you're soccer and you're outside all the time, well, you probably don't need a lens that goes to a 1.4.
Great point.
Right? Versus in the hockey rink and the lighting there, you probably need a lens that goes more wide open.
Have you been reading my emails?
No, I haven't been reading anything. I just... Do I read?
That's a good point.
I listen to audiobooks, all right? If you could put your emails on my audio, then I'd probably listen to it.
Ooh, I wonder if the Mac could read that to you.
But I think that was my first consideration is I thought if I'm going to shoot my kids, you know, in the near future in hockey rinks, because I've tried it, and the kit lens does not work so well. The 1.8 is fine when I'm on the ice with them, but at some point, if I'm going to sit in the stands and take pictures of them, I'm going to need a sort of a 70 to 200, and I hope I don't need the 2.8 because that's going to break my bank. But maybe the F4. No, you don't think the F4 will do
this? This is exactly the email I just wrote because somebody else said we were talking about lenses, and I had said actually I think it was Big Blue.
Is that the Big Blue? You know what? Maybe. I read part of it. I didn't get through the whole email.
It's a Big Blue.
Was he buying the 2.8? Oh,
he bought the 2.8.
And probably the IS?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he went all in.
Yeah.
And see, I have the 70 to 200 F4.
Yeah, I'm hoping that'll do it.
With no IS. Now, the reason being is that when I bought it, I took into account all of that. What do I need it for?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be outside.
Yeah.
I'm going to be generally, most of my stuff is going to be outside or lit with strobes. So I don't need that 2.8. I would love to have that 2.8, but I don't need it. So, okay, so now I'm shifting to the F4 models because there's two models of those.
Yeah.
With the IS, without the IS.
Yeah.
Do I need the IS? I would like the IS. Didn't think I needed it. Because it's a very expensive.
It's a difference of almost double.
It's almost double.
Yeah.
And so I figured, okay, here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be shooting outside. And so I'm going to have enough light at F4 to get a good shutter speed. And so I'm still going to be able to shoot everything at around 1/1000th of a second.
Which is more than enough.
Which is where you want to be. You can still get, at 200 millimeters, you can still get shaky pictures.
Yeah.
But you still, that's kind of where I wanted to be. And so I knew, okay, I don't need the IS at that price. The other good thing is I don't need the added weight.
And it's almost twice the weight,
too. Oh, at least that. The 2.8 IS is a monster.
Yeah.
So much so that you can't put it on a tripod. It's got a tripod collar for the lens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So the lens sits on the tripod and the camera hangs off the back.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to do it. And so did I want to walk around like that? Practicality-wise, did I want to walk around that all the time and have a $2,400 lens when I could get the $600 L lens, make money with it, and put that money in my pocket, my wife's pocket, let's be honest. I could put that money away, and then down the road, if I need it, buy it.
Yeah.
And I knew I wasn't going to be in the hockey rink, specifically the hockey rink.
Yeah.
Because you get inside there, and all of a sudden, wow, is it dark. So even if you're willing to shoot at ISO 1600, which I am, and you're going to shoot at F4, what are you going to get for a shutter speed? In some of these rinks, you'd be lucky to get 1/60th.
Oh, no. This is bad news.
This is bad news for you.
You can break it to my wife. Yeah, break it to my wife.
Well, I'll make her listen to last week's show.
We've got a couple of years until Jack probably starts playing hockey.
And it's fast enough that you're going to need that, you know, fast shutter speed.
Yeah.
But you're going to need that 2.8.
Either that or I might start reffing with a camera in my pocket.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. One of those hero cams. Yeah. That'd be awesome. So that was my complete rationale, was I had to take step back and say, okay, what do I need? What do I need versus what do I want?
Right.
I wanted the 2.8 with IS. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And a person to carry it. That would have been great. But that's where we ended up. Now, Zoom versus Prime, that's a big question. I'm a complete Prime snob. I've always loved Prime lenses. I have a couple. I actually have two Zooms now. I only had one.
That was the kit.
I'm not counting. I'm talking about my pro rig.
You're 70 to 200, right?
It was my 70 to 200. Yeah, my kit lens I kind of left on and my wife would shoot with or whatever. I didn't use it much.
Okay.
Not that it's not a good lens. I enjoy it. That was the 17 to 85 kit lens, right. Not the 55. But when I was looking for a longer reach, I would decided on the 70 to 200, and that was my zoom lens. Before that, I was Mr. Prime. I had the 50mm 1.8 like you had.
Yeah.
I found in certain situations I needed a faster focus, so I bought the lens for four times the price.
The 1.4, right?
The 1.4, which is, it's about 3.5 times the price right now.
About 350, right? Something like that.
I think they're going for higher than that. I saw them in the store today for about 450.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's a little bit, I think I paid less than that.
Yeah, I've seen them as low as 350.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I probably paid around that, but point being, they're about three times the price.
Yeah.
For me, it was worth it because I found myself in situations where I needed focus to be much faster. And the one knock against the 1.8 is that it does hunt a little bit.
Absolutely.
And if you can get by on that, great. But if you need to be shooting stuff that's important, generally you're getting paid and if you can afford it. So that's where I ended up going. But I knew I wanted to add that kind of the longer reach to it. So that's why I looked right to the 70 to 200. Now, what's the best thing about a prime lens?
I don't know.
A lot of good things.
Yeah, I don't know what the best thing
is. I really put Adam on the spot there.
Is there an answer?
There's an answer. Let's hear the best thing. I don't know what the best thing is. That's a superlative. I should have gone with comparative.
Yeah.
The good things are, first of all, they're much cheaper.
Definitely cheaper.
Than a similar lens, and they open up much, much wider. They're much faster. Which means they go to a 1.8 or a 1.4.
Yeah.
Oftentimes versus a really expensive zoom lens might be an f2.8.
Well, yeah, and that lens is 25 times the cost of my 1.8.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's where that goes. And so can you make do with it? Yeah, you can't zoom. People that say, oh, you zoom with your feet. I don't really agree with that necessarily. I do. That's how you do it, but it's not quite the same. But you know, it's great. It's a great compromise. And so I happen to love shooting with prime lenses. They are clearer in my mind. Unless you spend a lot of money, the 70 to 200 L lenses are razor sharp, which you'll find, but you pay for them. So what do you prefer shooting with? If I just said to you, hey, what would you rather shoot with?
You're comparing the two lenses I have, my kit lens and...
Pictures of your kids. You're out shooting pictures. You're going to go to Stanley Park, get to take one lens. Which one are you taking?
The 50mm.
Because hands down...
Well, because I have more aperture to play with.
Yep.
And I like the bokeh that I get from the 50mm, because I can go to a 1.8 versus the lowest I can go on my kit lens is a 3.5, and that's only when I'm zoomed all the way out. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, so I would definitely choose the 50mm.
Okay, so if you're going to buy a zoom lens, which you're thinking of doing, how much zoom do you want? Some is good, more must be better.
I normally subscribe to that theory or policy.
The dessert theory?
Yeah. But no, I think for me... I only have the reference of the 70 to 200 that I've played around with. I've never used a longer focal length than that, so I really don't know. And the 70 to 200 that I've used a little bit with yours, still it seems like 200 is not that much zoom. So I could understand why people would get something that goes to 300. But again, I've gotten away for 2 years – completely happy with having nothing beyond 55 millimeters. So for me, 200 would seem like a ton. It's four times what I've got now.
Right.
So my answer is probably 200 is more than enough.
But do you want to go from 18 to 200 on the same lens?
Again, I think that there's always the sacrifice there. You're giving away something in order to do that. So I think that the narrower the range, the sharper the picture. Is that not generally true?
That's how I look at it. And that's not that's how I look at it because that's how it is.
Yeah.
I didn't invent that. that's why I do. When I go to buy my zoom lenses, I did not think of those other ones. I didn't think of the 18 to 200 or that's kind of the whipping boy for... Is that bad? Is that bad to say? I don't know what these sayings are. Sometimes they come out of my mouth, and I don't know if they're actually politically incorrect.
That's very incorrect.
That sounds like it might be bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that, so you're reading too much into it.
Okay, apologies, just in case. It's kind of become the lightning rod?
Sure.
Okay, there we go. It's become the lightning rod.
Except if you got struck by lightning, and then you're probably offended.
I met that guy in Washington who was hit by lightning like five times. I was like, yeah, you might be doing something wrong.
See, and if you said... lightning rod to him, he'd probably have punched you in the face.
Unless his name was Rod. What if his name was Rod? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Or not. I don't know.
Where were you going with that?
I might edit that out. Point being, the 18 to 200 has become the lightning rod for my sort of...
rant.
Negativity. Yeah. Exactly. About what you shouldn't buy. Because I tend to keep my zoom ranges very, very short. In terms of 70 to 200, if you look at it in the world of video, when they talk about 18 times zoom or 300 times a digital zoom or whatever they talk about now. This one is only at what, 2.5 times?
Yeah.
About a 2.5 yep. times zoom. That's as far as I want to go. I don't want one that's going to go from 18 to 135. There's just too much glass inside to get in the way of your image.
Okay.
On the other end, I just recently bought a used lens on the wide angle, a 17 to 40. And again, that's only 2.5 times. It doesn't go further than that because I want it to be good at what it does.
Right.
So in my non-expert advice, I don't want to sound like an expert all the time.
But I think you certainly know more than most. So that makes you generally an expert, I think.
So what are you looking at? my humble advice is keep... If you want it to be really good pictures, you want to get good pictures, keep the zoom to a minimum.
Okay.
That's what I recommend. Now, I find that with the 70 to 200 is a great range for shooting. If you're out at the park, I would have brought it to the park the other day, except for I had shot with it all day the previous day, and I just kind of hit the wall and wanted to go to the park.
It's your birthday, too.
It's also my birthday, which when you're my age and have kids, who cares?
Yeah, you don't want to carry around that huge lens on your birthday.
Yeah, no, I kind of did, actually. I wish I could have played the, hey, it's my birthday card. But I kind of wanted to go and play with our kids.
Right.
Okay, not our kids.
We didn't have kids together.
No.
Just to clarify.
My kids, and I like your kids.
Well, you only have one kid, so.
Yes.
It's kind of weird.
This whole story is getting suspect.
And moving on.
All the kids. I wanted to go enjoy our day at the park with the kids, and so I brought the 30mm, which is just kind of a fun lens for me.
Yeah.
How wide do you need to go?
I would say as wide as you want. I don't know.
Like, no, you. I'm asking you.
Oh.
How wide? Like, how wide do you feel like you need to be?
I think 18 has been as wide as I need, and if I need wider, I back up. Great. I don't need a 10 to 20 millimeter lens. I could see if you're shooting large sweeping landscapes as your primary interest, then that lens would be something of interest to you. That's not what I shoot, so I have no need to go wider than 18 millimeters.
Great. That is great advice. If you are shooting those landscapes, have a look at that lens. Have a look at the 10 to 20.
And that's not a cheap lens either.
Right? No, there's different versions. There's the 10 to 20 by Sigma, which is like 650 or something like that.
Yeah.
There is the dedicated Canon one is expensive.
Yeah, it's over $1,000.
A Takina that a friend of ours just shot with Steve. He's with Greenpeace in Papua New Guinea.
Okay.
And he shot a whole bunch of stuff with that 12 to 24 maybe. I forget which Takina makes, but I'm going to talk to him in the near future and see how he liked that lens.
Okay.
Because he sent me some images and they look fantastic. But you do get some distortion at that angle. But that's kind of part of the picture. So if you're willing to accept it, then great. And they are great for landscapes, like you said.
Yeah.
So, but if you're going to shoot your kids running around, I would suggest 18 or 17. 17 to 85 is a really good range for that. This one, I this is the question that as we're getting near the end of the show.
I can't wait.
Yes. I'll just check on time. Oh, yeah, we're way over. But I don't really want to.
But you're too excited. So Al's excited. So let's keep going with it. We can make this a two-parter.
Let's not make it a two-parter. let's power through.
Okay.
Do you need to cover every focal length?
No.
No, you don't. This is something that this. Okay, this kind of drives me crazy.
Okay.
Because I see people in the store all the time. I saw someone in the store today getting upsold by someone. And it wasn't really an upsell, but it's kind of an upsell. They sell you the 18 to 55 kit lens.
Yeah.
And they say, well, if you want to go past that, you're going to get the 55 to 250 or whatever that lens is.
Then you're set. You've got 18 to 250.
That's lenses. It. You've got every single focal length from here to Route 66.
Which is probably why they made the 55 to 250.
Is why they made it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I want to go over and tell these people, don't buy it. Don't buy that. Don't fall for the fact that, well, you know, hey, I've got it. In case it rains, I've got, you know, every raincoat there is.
Right.
You don't need it. I don't have every focal length covered. For a long time, all I shot when I was shooting on my full frame camera, I had a 50 millimeter prime.
Yeah.
And my 70 to 200. That's it. Those are the only two lenses I had. And it was very, very rarely that I needed anything else. Now, it started to come up where I needed some wide stuff. I had a few jobs come up that I needed something very, very wide. And so I bought the 17 to 40. And that covered it.
And then you were good.
I'm still missing some, though.
Yeah.
I go 17 to 40. I skip all the 40s.
Yeah.
Go to 50.
And skip 50 to 70.
Skip 50 to 70. And then I go 70 to 200. So I have gaps in there.
This isn't a math lesson either, by the way.
Yes. Get your abacus out. And let's go to the red one. The red column. So I have no problem missing focal lengths. It never comes up where a client says to me, okay, I'd like you to shoot this portrait of me with those trees in the background, and it needs to be at 61 millimeters. Never comes
up. Doesn't happen.
So get over the fact that you need every single.
Well, my two lenses are completely redundant. I got 17 or whatever it is, 18 to 55, and then I got 50.
Yep. Two different tools, though.
But the 50 does things that the 18 to 55 could never do.
Exactly. So if you want to go out again, it all comes down to what it is that you want to shoot. Figure out what you want to shoot and what focal lengths work for you.
And then do some research. There's great resources.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing for them.
Oh, okay. People who don't want to do research, listen to this.
Yeah, well, if they could just but do then the research, do research, why would they listen to us?
I don't know. You still want to know. You want to know what other people think about the lens, not just what we think.
Plus, research is not as big a jerks.
And it's super accessible information. So once you kind of narrow down what you want, you can look at the Canon versus the Sigma versus the whatever name you said before that I can't pronounce. The other company that makes lenses.
Takina.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like Toshiba, but isn't.
So my one thing is now, if you're looking to buy a lens and you get this 55 to 250 or the 18 to 135 or whatever it is, if you have a long zoom range and it's very cheap.
It's not good.
Don't buy it. if it's $300 and it zooms from 18 to 300, it's not very good.
Right.
My one analogy that I use for this is if you walk by down the street and you see all you can eat sushi, $2, do not eat there. You can pay too little for sushi.
Yes.
Now, you can pay too much. I'm not saying go down to Tojo's and drop a few hundy. However, you can pay too little, and that's the same with a zoom lens. $300 on a zoom lens that covers every focal length. In my opinion, you're throwing your money away.
Okay.
You'd be better off buying the 85mm f1.8 prime if you want pictures at that end. That's a great lens. It's $450, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Duh, I love that lens. And that was the sound there. Duh, I love that lens. So that's what I recommend. If it's too cheap, buy something else.
Okay.
Don't buy something expensive. Buy something that does less but does it well. So I think that's about it for how to buy a lens.
Goodness.
Wow. Come on. You want to know?
Yeah, I do.
Well, hey, what lens are you going to buy now?
I don't know. Thanks. After all that.
Well, let's back up and go over some of that again. Figure out what you're going to get.
I definitely think that the information helps, but still I haven't decided what my number one priority is yet. And as soon as I decide that, I have options.
30 millimeter Sigma. That's what I think you're going
to
get.
No, it's not going to be. I think it's going to be a Canon. I think it's going to be a Canon lens that I buy.
Yeah.
So I save my pennies and eventually it's going to be a Canon. It might be something wider though. I think before I go a 70 to 200 and break the bank, I probably will spend, probably something similar in cost, but get something that's going to give me a better version of a kit lens.
Right.
Or a better version of that end of the spectrum, of the zoom spectrum.
Great. 17 to 55 f/2.8.
Something like that.
That's a pricey little
That's about
number.
$1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People love that lens.
Yeah. So.
So that's a good one. So hopefully we've answered your questions on how to buy a lens. I don't think we've answered which lens to buy.
Yeah. But pointed you in the direction.
Right. Now, you know what? I think in the future episodes, we'll talk about new versus used and what to look for and how to look to buy a used lens. How to buy a used lens.
A whole other hour and a half.
Hopefully that'll be much shorter. So there's that. So photo challenge for next week.
Do you have one?
I was kind of hoping you had one.
Oh, how about, I got an idea. How about available light? Something to do with available light.
Daylight savings means it's pretty dark.
Which means that you're going to have to be creative to make use of available light.
So available light at night.
Yeah.
That's how I wrote it down there, that you didn't read it right.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So you did have an idea that I came up with earlier and wrote down for you to say.
But I didn't read it.
And you,
put it on an audio tape.
That's how I do it. If I left that as a voicemail on your iPhone.
I don't have one.
Then you wouldn't have gotten it because you'd only have the vision. I don't know. So yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's available light at night because the clocks have changed back, most in the Northern Hemisphere, probably forward in the Southern Hemisphere. I don't know. Maybe Janice can tell us.
Okay.
She lives in Australia.
Yeah.
Just call back. So available light at night. What do you need for that? You have two choices of lenses, really. Let me point out, this should be handheld.
Okay.
We used a tripod last week.
Yeah.
So I would like the challenge this week to be available light at night, handheld.
Okay.
What does that mean? What do you need for that?
I don't know.
Oh, my.
I don't understand. I don't understand the question. What do I need, a camera?
Well, you need a camera, but what kind of a lens is it going to be?
Probably something that opens up wide.
I'll send you some links to some of our previous shows when you shot your mouth off about how you knew all about what IS was.
Just remember the disco ball?
Oh, that's a pretty good looking disco ball.
Yes, maybe something with IS.
Something with IS or a fast lens.
Yes, which is a lens that opens up very wide.
Yeah, you're going to want something that opens up very wide, like Adam just said, or a image stabilization or VR than Nikon world. So that's what we're going to do. Go out and shoot with something with that.
And PS, most of the kit lenses now have IS. So if you're not sure if you've got it, check your kit lens.
Great tip.
Yeah.
So that's it for this week. Until next week, get out there. Oh, no, hang on a second.
Where can we find your stuff? You see, after all that time, you almost missed something pretty important.
Yeah, because no one will know how to find us. We'll Google us. Google Plus us.
We show up pretty quick on the Google if anyone hasn't tried that. I think as soon as you type in two hosers, it's not some crazy videos. You're going to see us.
Great.
Right off the bat.
Wow.
I did it. I tried it.
You Googled us.
Just to prolong this episode, let's talk about Google again.
And I'm the one with the ego. Yeah. Here you are Googling yourself.
No, I wasn't Googling myself. I was Googling two hosers.
Wow. Half yourself. One hoser. So, I wonder if you... Never mind.
I thought another fractions lesson was coming.
Oh, no. Here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
That's what happens at the end of the show. It gets brave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feeling strong. All right. Where can people find your stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com.
Oh, great. I'm going to go there now.
The end.
Yeah. We'll have a look at my stuff, as always, at alanatridge.com. But the two of us can be found at Two Hoses. I'm going to cough. There we go. Does that sound better?
Silky smooth.
Now I sound like a radio DJ.
Yeah.
As always, you can find both of us at twohosers.com, Two Hosers on the Twitter, Google Plus coming soon, Flickr site. It's all on the Two Hosers. Just check us out there and tell your friends to listen to us on iTunes.
If they've got an hour and a half.
Yeah. If they got, if they can't sleep, this will be a good episode.
Yeah. Or just think of budgeting it 10 minutes for the next 2 months.
Like Lila Billings doing.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Until next week, get out there. Make better photos.